Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information, please go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, here is today's message.
Good morning, everybody. We are excited that you joined us yet again for Church Online. Thanks for being a part of LifePoint Church and a part of the body of Christ and what God is doing here at LifePoint in Valley Center, the Wichita area. We are so privileged this morning to have what Rob and I would consider heroes amongst us. We wish we could be gathered together in the sanctuary so you could have opportunity to visit with Bruce and Lisa Ridpath, but you're gonna have to do it online. So shoot them a shout out via Facebook or you know, in the chat box, give them a high five, thumbs up, fist bump, or whatever. It's a joy, it's a privilege to have them with us this morning. Man, these guys are incredible. I know just over 8 weeks ago, a team was down in Bogota, Colombia, serving with them, having a blast, doing ministry, getting cultured, driving to and fro the work site, getting tear gassed, getting cultured by people in medians and all this different stuff. It was awesome. And these are incredible hosts. And what a privilege it is to be with them just, I guess it's about 10 weeks now that we returned from Colombia, right before the outbreak really got going. So here we are. Welcome to LifePoint. Welcome to Valley Center again. It's great having you here. Thank you for being willing to join us in this platform this way. It's great having you. So our thought is this morning initially, we're just gonna like pepper them with a bunch of fun questions. And then they're going to tell us a little about what's going on and what their plans are. So dive in with the first question.
Well, we want to know how long you guys have been married and how many kids you have. Lisa, would you like to?
Sure. We're coming up on 36 years of marriage this May.
Congratulations.
And we have two kids, and they were raised in Colombia. And our daughter is 30, Alicia, and our son is 29, Nathan.
And we have been missionaries 31 years, and if I might give a disclaimer, you're the only team we've ever had tear gas. That doesn't happen often.
You know, you'll be here for about a year, depending on what happens with this outbreak, but you might be going back. We could send you back with a puppy.
Wow.
I heard someone has puppies for sale.
We do. Anyway.
Publicity.
So yeah, right. So Columbia, for those, there's some from our church that have been. We've had two teams that have worked with you in the last 4 years. But just some fun facts about Columbia. One would be, what's driving like in Columbia?
You know, for the teams that have been there, the team in Bogota at least, driving is a challenge, let's put it that way. I have heard we're one of the top two or three worst traffic jam places in the world, and those that were there found out about it. It's a challenge. It's something that can draw you closer to the Lord because you're always praying, you know what I mean? But it is a challenge, so.
And Lisa, does Bruce have any stories that you'd like to tell on him about driving experiences?
Driving. Yeah. Yes, I would. I have a good story on Bruce because it is illegal in Bogota to text or talk on your phone while you're driving. So Bruce decided that
this would be a good time to find out.
He thought he was able to talk on his phone a while and not get caught, looking over his shoulder, didn't see any problem. So he gets pulled over. And the fine is quite hefty for this problem. And so the police officer said, okay, look, either you will pay the fine, which is maybe $200 or $300, I don't know. Or write 300 times on a piece of paper, "I will obey the laws of Columbia."
That's awesome.
"I will obey the laws of..." And so Bruce chose that. He got to about 30, and the officer just said, "Fine, that's fine. Go."
I'm not proud of that.
No, we're not proud. We're not proud of that.
That's funny. Great story.
How long have you guys been in missions?
31 years.
31 years. That's a long time.
It is.
It is, yeah.
In those almost three decades, how has missions changed over those three decades?
When we first started, it was hard to make a phone call. Technologically, everything has changed since the 90s to now. And so you know how it is in the States, all the changes. We couldn't making phone calls and that kind of thing. The churches have grown in Colombia, and so that's been really exciting to be a part when they had such growth. Mm-hmm. And Bruce probably has numbers that he could say on the growth of the church in Colombia.
I do.
No. Yes, you do. I know you do.
No, that's a good point. We've seen a lot of change. Honestly, when we first got there, I believe in Colombia, there weren't even 200 churches in the whole country, and, wow. And you know, there's over 1,000 now, so God's doing great things. The church is great, you know, doing well in cities. We're really, really lacking in rural areas, but there's been a lot of good changes in Colombia over the years, so we thank the Lord. Violence is better, you know, than sure. It used to be, so. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, in a moment, we're gonna view a video kind of highlighting, but if you could just put maybe some words with some of the pictures that we're gonna be seeing on that video. But in the last your last term, so in the last 4 years, I think last time you were with us was in 2016, if I remember right. Were you itinerating?
I think 2015.
Okay,
actually.
15, and then we were with you in February of 17. What are some of the in the last term, some of the quick highlights, just maybe two or three that come to your mind?
Boy, obviously having the Valley Center teams with us were two big highlights.
Oh, so good answer.
Obviously. But no, helping to start churches where we don't have them. On the video, it talks about three churches in conflict zones. This is where there's been ongoing civil war and violence, but, you know, thank the Lord the church is even growing in places like that. And really, it's highlighted in you guys' work there. The church in Soacha has been a special place for us, and we thank God that he's raising up a work in a very difficult area. So
wonderful. Well, check this video out, just a highlight of what is happening or what has been happening in Bogota, and enjoy it. And as you watch it, be praying for the nation of Colombia.
Friends, we greet you from Bogota, Colombia. We're grateful to God as we're finishing our sixth term of service here for a wonderful 4 years. We've seen many, many people come to Jesus. We've been able to help raise up several new churches. Three of them were in conflict zones where there's been much war. We're grateful the church is being established there. Helped to raise up a church in an unreached indigenous group area. And we're grateful to God, and we're grateful to you for your great generosity and prayers. Friends, we wanted to share a great testimony about the life of our good friend, Pastor William Cardoso, who we've been helping raise up a new church in Soacha, one of the poorest, most difficult areas of the city. William grew up outside of the church. He didn't know the Lord, lived a typical party life, involved in many bad things, involved with much sin. Met a young lady named Mijerly. They moved in together, didn't know the Lord. But a few years after that, he received a serious diagnosis that he had stage 4 cancer, and without much hope. And about this time, his girlfriend Mijerly started attending an Assembly of God church. She gave her heart to the Lord, started telling William about Jesus. And through the process of literally terrible chemotherapy, he started to be open to the Lord. He started reading the Bible, started attending church. God miraculously saved William. They got married.
And in this process of chemotherapy, at the end of a year or so, they said he was cancer-free. God really helped him. But they also said he'd never have a child because of the treatments. Well, as you can see in the photo, they now have a child, and we're grateful that God has raised them up and is using them in a powerful way in Soacha.
Incredible video, man. Just so fun. Brings up back a lot of memories knowing that we were just in some of those areas just a few weeks ago. And with that, obviously we're in this setting this morning because of the virus. And we know how it's affecting our area, our state, our country. You guys came back a week or two early so you could make sure you were able to get back, or days early anyway. How's the church in Columbia doing right now with handling the shutdown? What's the shutdown like for them?
Interestingly, their restrictions are a lot tougher than ours. You can't go out. You know, families with kids can't go out to the yard. They have to stay inside. Maybe about once a week, a parent can go to the grocery store, and obviously if you have a medical emergency you can go out, but really it's a lot stricter there on being quarantined and isolated. That said, the church goes forward. Basically, they're doing what we're doing here. They're doing everything online and you know, trying to get by. Many rural areas or small churches can't do that. Lack of internet or funds or whatnot. So it's like here, it's a difficult time economically and in every other way, but they're going forward like we are, so.
Good.
Well, I think it's always a privilege to have missionaries come to our church, and we're so grateful that you're here with us today. Something that I also love doing, especially when our kids were younger and at home, just being able to sit down for a meal together and just talk about things that are going on in the country that you're living in. And can you share some stories, or maybe a story, of seeing the supernatural hands of God?
You know, over the years, we've seen many, obviously. To me, always the biggest supernatural thing of God is what you see is people coming to Jesus. And over the years, we've just seen many, many people find changed lives in Jesus, people filled with the Spirit. We've seen some cool healings. Our neighbor, a sweet Catholic lady, was dying of pancreatic cancer. And, you know, we had a privilege to pray for her. And God, they literally said she had like a couple of weeks to live, and God raised her up, and she's totally fine. You know, different healings, deliverances, you know, seen many of those of people set free from demonic power. So, I mean, we could talk a long time here. I'm not sure what you want stories you want. So.
It's we're going through the Book of Mark right now, preaching through it, and. You know, over and over again, immediately, you know, Jesus is doing this and that and delivering people. And so it's just awesome to hear those stories and see the stories of the gospel still impacting and changing lives.
Sure.
That's cool. Can you describe the call to missions?
You know, these
for
are
you guys personally.
Would you like to start on that, hon? Can I take just a couple of minutes here? This is a little longer because for me it wasn't like one dramatic call. It was a series of things. Long story short, we were youth pastoring here in Kansas in 1988, and we sensed a change was coming up. So we took several of our kids and went on the Kansas District AIM trip, which everyone out there should do, right? And we went to Guatemala, and I'm telling you, God tore me apart down there. He messed me up big time, saying this is what he wants us to do. But then we had to convince someone else she wasn't on the trip, and got back, and she was wide open to the call. We went to Springfield a few months after that just to knock on the door a little bit and see what might happen, and man, it flew wide open. So we were in it, and this is kind of a funny story. When, you know, 8-9 months later, we had to decide where we're going. We were appointed now in June of 89, and we had to figure out where we're going. And they said, where would you like to go? And we said, we like Guatemala, man. I'd love to go back there. And they go, oh, wow, we have too many missionaries in Guatemala. And so I tried to, you know, put a spiritual answer on it, you know what I mean? So I said, well, man, what's the biggest need in all of Latin America? We want to go where the biggest need is. And he goes, oh, well, praise the Lord, the biggest need is Colombia, hallelujah. And, you know, for people of my generation, the late 80s in Colombia was chaos, as were most of the 90s when we were there, but it was just terrible with bombings and terrorism and all that kind of stuff. So I told you I was spiritual, right? So in my way, my next question was, well, that's really good about Colombia. What's the second biggest need in Latin America? We literally said that. But you know what? As we began to pray, God just showed us, both of us, and that's another story, but we don't have time, that it was Colombia. And we're so glad he did. We're so blessed to be missionaries to Colombia. I say it all the time, and I'm serious. I don't know if we've been a blessing for Colombia, but Colombia's been a blessing for us, man. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way. You know, the three times I've been there. I love the area. It has a special place in my heart for sure. Staying on the topic of pursuing the call, not everyone's going to be called to missions. Not everyone's called to ministry as a vocation. But what would you say to someone about pursuing the call of God on their life, whatever that may look like?
You know, that's a big question. I think the biggest thing is being open and willing to do whatever Jesus calls you to do. If he's called you to be a wheat farmer, if he's called you, you know, to work at Casey's, whatever, is to follow him in what he's called you to do. But if he's called you to be a missionary, there's nothing better that you can do, you know what I mean? And obviously to keep that alive, just like every Christian, you have to be in his word, you have to be in prayer, you have to be in church, you have to be involved. You know, he has to be number one. And bottom line, there's nothing better anyone can do than follow the call of God, what he wants you to do. So, and obviously we need more missionaries all over the world, you know what I mean? And we can all be involved in missions one way or the other. So.
Sure, right on. Yeah.
So you answered the call to go 31 years ago, and you know, there's things that happen in life, situations that come up, things that happen when you're in ministry. I mean, it happens to pastors as well. But how have you stayed tender towards the call of God on your life through the years?
For me, as a wife, a mother, a woman in ministry, I think it's been just waking up each day and it's a new day and there's hope for that day. No matter what bad thing may have happened yesterday, today's a new day, and God fills you with that hope because you're willing to get out of bed and go on that next day, even though yesterday was rough. And so you do that long enough, and you'll find out 31 years later, my word, I've been in missions for 31 years, and I didn't think I could even make it back then. Mm-hmm. And so it's God's grace for each day.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I would say too, obviously there's wonderful, glorious things that happen, awesome things that God does on the mission field, but also there's great attacks, great trials, but the call of God is real, and it's not something you turn on and turn off. It's there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the times you think, you know, Kansas is looking pretty good right now, or this or that, that call is still there. And my desire, our desire, is we're going to follow that until it lifts or something changes. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So as we kind of near the end of this time this morning, to those that have never been, and you touched on it earlier, just made a passing comment, but to those who've never been on a missions trip, whether it be stateside or a foreign trip, why should they go on a trip?
It's valuable. It's valuable for the country that they're going to visit, and it's valuable for them. They tend to think, oh, I'm just going for a week. It's not that much. You know, it's how much am I doing? But there are seeds that are sown that they'll never really understand until they're in heaven, things that were done for the kingdom. And so it's a valuable experience for each person if they can get overseas.
Mm-hmm. I was a product, I'm a missionary, I'm a product of a mission trip, and we have seen over the years, time after time after time, people changed on a missions trip. Maybe not called to the missions field, some of them were actually, but everyone's touched. At least you see something you've never saw before through the eyes of other people. It's an awesome experience, and I would encourage everyone to do it. It's life-changing, however it ends. So.
Right. Well, you're here for a year, and then you go back. And not that I've ever been about, you know, inviting myself to some place or inviting a group, but plan on us coming back.
Hey, you're invited.
We want to go back to Sawatcha. We had a wonderful experience, if that would work out, if that's the place. But Pastor William is a neat man of God, and enjoying that relationship, even after we've been talked with him several times via email and whatnot. But as we wrap this up, how can we be praying for you?
You know, as always, you know, this is a big shift of focus for us being back in the States and trying to raise a new budget. And wow, what a shock, you know what I mean? You get back towards the end of March and you're ready to start visiting churches in April and there's no one to visit, you know what I mean? So it's a definite challenge for what we're doing now. We would appreciate your prayers for that. We would appreciate your prayers for the wonderful people and country of Colombia, that the gospel could get to the whole country. We still have some areas where we can't get to that are without the gospel, many lost indigenous people. So please pray for Colombia and that real peace would come. There's been a peace process, but really things haven't changed much. So,
thank you so much. And we want to pray for you. I won't put my hand fully on you, but let's pray, all right? Father God, we thank you for the Red Pass. We just extend our hands to them. God, we thank you for the privilege that we've had this morning to just hear from them, hear their hearts, hear how you've brought them to where they are in life and in ministry. God, I thank you for their faithfulness over 31 years of serving in the nation of Colombia. God, we just pray blessing over them. God, we pray blessing over their family, even though their kids are living now in the States and are creating a life of their own. God, we pray, Lord, just favor and blessing over their whole family, Lord God. We thank you for them. We thank you for the deposit that they've made into LifePoint Church with the two teams that have come over the last several years, Lord God. We look forward to future opportunities. God, meet every need that they have. And as we step into a time of worship right now, God, may we hear you, Holy Spirit, speak to our heart about the call. It may not be the call to missions, but just the call that you've placed on us, God, that we would, each of us, have a heart that is yielded to you in desiring to know you more, Father God, that we know that there's so much more that you want to do in us, so many more places where you want to lead us, God, that you would have your way. God, we want to worship you with every day, every moment, just like Lisa said, God, waking up every day, waking up today, knowing that this is a new day, a new opportunity, a new chance to surrender to you and to know you more. God, we love you. Hear our heart and worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes today's message. Thank you for listening. We're looking forward to connecting with you very soon.